Britain is in the midst of a high-profile inquiry into its involvement in the Iraq War. Senior army officers have given evidence strongly criticizing the civilian leadership back in Britain. NPR's Rob Gifford has been following the inquiry from London.
The chaos that exploded in Iraq after the invasion in 2003 has been widely reported and analysed, but to hear it described by senior British military officers who were there is slightly more unusual. It's also unusual to hear them saying that the chaos was not just in Iraq, but also back in Britain. Major General Andrew Stewart was the British commander in southern Iraq in 2004.
Back here in London, there was no understanding of how much resource in terms of political commitment, finance, and other areas was required.
Lieutenant General Sir Freddie Vigors was the commander of British forces in Iraq in 2003, and he went even further.
We've got huge experience in this country. We're not using it. And we're putting amateurs into really, really important positions. And people are getting killed as a result of some of these decisions. It's a huge responsibility, and I just don't sense we're living up to it.
And then there was the diplomat appointed to run the coalition provisional authority in Basra, who arrived to find he had no computer or telephone. There was some defence of British government decision-making from the current head of the Foreign Intelligence Agency, MI6, Sir John Soares. In May 2003, he became Britain's main representative in Baghdad, and he too told of the chaos that he found. But he also defended some of the decisions taken at the time. For instance, the widely criticised disbanding of the Iraqi army.
There are 11,000 generals in the Iraqi army and only 300 generals in the US army. Many of those 11,000 generals were ageing Sunnis who were sort of paid to help prop up the regime. There was a credible argument for starting again.
The head of the Iraq inquiry, former civil servant Sir John Chilcot, has said it is completely independent from governmental pressure. But the inquiry has no judicial power, and some have said it adds up to no more than a bunch of people trying to reallocate blame for the history books. Former editor of the Times of London, Simon Jenkins, has sat in on several days of the inquiry.
Well, I was fairly surprised because I was expecting what might be called a measure of toughness. Even these inquiries in decorous London tend to have a few lawyers present asking some tough questions. And the people conducting the inquiry have been selected for some with some degree of investigative skill. There was none of the rough and tumble that you'd get in even a parliamentary committee inquiry in London. The witnesses were given what can only be described as an unbelievably easy ride.
The inquiry's star witness will be Tony Blair, and there will be plenty of focus on him. The thrust of many of those questions so far has been to push all blame Blair's way. Simon Jenkins says in the end that may be the biggest achievement of the inquiry.
It can certainly nail Tony Blair's reputation as far as he has one now. But I think even that is sort of slightly yesterday's story.
Blair is due to appear sometime in the new year, but the inquiry will likely not wrap up until the summer. Rob Gifford, NPR News, London.